After what we have been hearing, I have a word that I think may fit in here now at the conference. The book of Ezra. We've been hearing much about the Word of God and the importance of it and the reading of it. The book of Ezra in the Old Testament, chapter 7. Ezra, chapter 7. Verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was already scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Verse 8. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. For upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. Notice this verse, verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Notice the order here. To seek, then to do, and then to teach. Well, I believe that's a good policy for all of us, even from the platform. That's the order. That's the procedure. Now, look at chapter 8. Chapter 8. And we'll read a verse 2 here. Verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Hebar, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good to seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. Now chapter 9 and verse 1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Ammonites and the Moabites, the Egyptians and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers have been chief in this trespass. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. Now look at chapter 10. And verse 10. Chapter 10, verse 10. And Ezra the priest stood up and said unto them, ye have transgressed, and have taken wives to increase the trespass of Israel. Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land, as from the strange wives. Then all the congregation answered and said with a loud voice, as thou hast said, so must we do. Now, I want to just mention four things about this remarkable man in the Old Testament, Ezra. And they're easy to remember. First of all, in the first portion that we read today, we have his personal preparation. He established his heart, he purposed in his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and then to teach it in Israel. In the second portion of the Word of God, we have his profound faith in God. What a contrast to the things that we witness and see in the religious world, and even the evangelical world today. What a contrast. His profound faith in the living God. Then in chapter 9, we have his prayerful life. Here's a man that really prayed, and he knew what prayer was all about. One of the greatest needs among us today. You attend any of our assemblies, go on the prayer meeting night. You see how many are there. Oh, when you have a shooting star come from Europe and hit our land, and it's nice to get a good welcome and to be accepted. Why, they come in droves. People of God come from everywhere. They come even in wheelbarrows. You hear this great preacher, and you hear this marvelous evangelist or this great teacher. But come out in the prayer meeting. Now there you get the pulse of things. There you find out really about the strength and the power of the event. His prayerful life. And then last of all, his practical ministry. Well, here's a man, and he goes right in line with my thinking. He didn't pull his punches in his ministry. I like a preacher like that. I don't like a man to pull his punches or play to the gallery. If a man has something to say and God has laid it on his heart, God give him the grace to stand up and give it out and take the consequences. Give it out in the fear of God and in fellowship with God. But if it needs to be said, don't be afraid to say it. Come out and say it. Because rest assured, we're going to be responsible for our ministry in our coming day. God help us to remember that. We're going to be accountable, not to men, but to God. So, we learn from Ezra that God raises up men and he provides men in all ages without any human intervention. God raises up men. And the crying need among us today, as far as I'm concerned, you know, men in my age bracket in the next 15 years, and our brother Adams here and others, there's going to be a lot of weeding out. There's going to be a lot of falling to the wayside. A lot of dropping out, and that has to be. And things have to take their course, and we have to be realistic about this. But my, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to see young men raised up? We're taking off the armor now. But we'd like to see younger men raised up and putting on the armor. And one of the greatest needs among us today is for men to be raised up to herald forth the truth of God. Not to be concerned about assembly problems. Well, I remember Mr. George Gould said to me when I started out in the Lord's work, well, Frank, he said, you've been commended and you're going out in the Lord's work. I said, yes, Mr. Gould. He said, stay out of assembly problems. Your business is to preach the gospel, minister the word, but don't interfere with assembly government. And I want to talk plain. I've noticed when preachers get involved with assembly government, they're in the 10 times worse. All right, they can seek your counsel and advice, but don't interfere. Let the government, let the responsible men of that assembly take care of that. Let them look after that. That's their job. That's their responsibility. So in such times, God raised up a man like Ezra. And as I've said already, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we saw God raising up young men among us to herald forth the truth of God without the fear of man or the favor of men, but to state the truth of God as it is. You know, the number of assemblies that we have, we're not sending out near enough. Not near enough. And there's a tremendous need everywhere today. Now, I know there's a lot of things go along with the Lord's work. You know, there's a lot of things in connection with the Lord's work that doesn't meet the eye. If you think the Lord's work is where you like to glorify them, and I want to save your mind out on that. I've been at it for 40 years now, and it's not the life of a gentleman. A lot of pressure, a lot of tension, a lot of politics, a lot of undercurrent. Well, I met a young man there in Huster, Mr. Perkins from Windsor. He's just gone up in the Lord's work. When I looked at him, he seemed to be a nice chap. Very sincere. I looked at him. He had Mr. David Adams in Brock this last Lord's Day. And he told me about the time he went out in the work. And he was telling Brother Shivers about it. And he noticed a strange look came over Mr. Shivers' face.
Now, Brother Shivers says, brother, before it's all over,
And sometimes that's the way it is. Before it's all over, and before it terminates, you'll wish you had been hung. But there's nothing higher, nothing nobler than being engaged in the work of God and his God and doing the fit for the Lord. So, first of all, his personal preparation. And here's a man, and he made it his business and his great ambition in life to patiently study the scriptures. He fitted himself and he prepared himself to teach and to lead the people of God. You know, it's not enough to be just well posted in the scriptures. Don't get me wrong, it's wonderful to study the Word of God and get a good knowledge of it and acquire a tremendous knowledge of the scriptures. But that's not enough. The great thing is, that has to be part of you. Ezra was a sincere, sober individual. He was that way. He took his work, and as they say, he took his religion serious. He really was a serious, sober man. In other words, what he preached and practiced, it was part of it. Part of it. Says in the Bible, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. It was said concerning Moses, he was mighty, he was. You know, there's certain men when they rise to preach, they could hit me right between the eyes. And they could give me an awful going over, you know what I have to do? I have to ask you, you know what? And I know. And he carries out what he's exhorting others to do. And I would advise everyone in this audience this afternoon to just take his study in that book. Even though you may not seem to get too much. You know, I've looked upon it in this way. Reading the scriptures and getting your mind stored with the Word of God is like putting money in the bank. When you put money in the bank, now you may not need it right now, but you may need it in the coming day. The same thing applies to the study of the scriptures. Diligent looking into the Word of God. Because there may be days ahead, and probably far ahead, or maybe that. You see, in other words, you're not feeding on the Word of God. That nothing gets learned. Well, that's the thing in the Lord's Word that gets depressing. You know, you're always looking at the Bible to get messages and get clues and instructions from other people. But how nice it is. You know, I like to get away where there's no communication. No way that you get in touch with me and just read the Bible. For my own nourishment, being at my friends, lifting my soul before, should have come from the Lord to do my own life. Just the Lord, the Lord. And read the Bible, come to the Bible, tell me my problems, but come to the Bible with everything in mind. But you come to us.
Because if you're not doing that in private, when you get into some situation like that,
brother, here, when you come to the government, you see that if your mind is not stored in your scripture, then you're not feeding upon the Word of God. The Spirit of God has nothing to work on.
So when you're feeding upon the Word,
the Spirit of God is able to read that. You can continue to hear it. And you can ever come. So his personal preparation. I wonder if this young man, or the one you are, that you see the God of God.
You know, I went through a spell there just recently. And I wondered whether my little bit of service was going to be.
But you know, I have learned what it is. I have walked and I look back. You know, I have walked and I look back.
Mr. Campbell,
also from Newfoundland. He's got his sights set to the other shore. Very sad, isn't it? I've prayed much about it.
God bless you, God bless you. God honor you, and you.
So I'm immortal until my work is done, until my work is over.
Mara, I would say
that conflict would be well worthwhile for some young men and young men in France to have to do it. Not only diligently study the scriptures,
but to find out what the Lord had me do. I don't spend all your time down here in education and accumulating wealth.
And storing up this and the other thing.
I would do it for the sound of it finding out a little bit of God in all these books. And give an answer. Never mind whether they let him answer what the other book. As long as he recognizes that that's all that matters. Not for God.
It's personal preparation. He establishes his heart, purpose in his heart,
that he follow on the Lord.
Now, his profound faith in the living God. I hear they have a journey ahead of them
about 3 months, and the problem is taking them all along the way. And of course, they fear the land. And what was the difference? The one in the favor of the king they had, it couldn't be part of that, and the other. This guy said, he did it twice. And he said, it was fine.
Beautiful when you see that in a person's life. And so he had the respect of the king. And he says here, I was a fool. My, what a lesson there is here for us. Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help.
Cursed is the man that trusted in them. They went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. You know, I was the only poor girl. All I had to do is love a woman. Oh, my, you know, a lot of Christian issues that people don't do the things at all times.
By a program on the radio, you know, they can wind up
by 20 verses from the Christian girl. So, my,
isn't it
strange?
That's 10, 15 times. Don't forget the address. Well, I want to tell you,
I'm a firm believer in it. If I can be touched with an enemy's glory, no matter what, I mean, I don't want to do that. I want to do that.
I had a picture come here when I was able to do this mission spell. I said, you know, Frank, I mean that wrong. When you're out of the public eye too long, you forgot.
But I want to inform you this afternoon, it wasn't that way. The Bible says he is able to do
his profound faith in the living God. Oh yes, they were going to provide him with an escort.
Well,
she's gone. Now, Amy Simple McPherson, you remember her? Well, she's quite a character. She gave the audience their money's worth. Yeah, she was down in one of the big churches there in Los Angeles.
I'm going to take them. When I took the book to a platform, these doors, and they had a roof down from these doors. Fantastic, isn't it?
Maya, when she came down the platform there, she moved towards the desk and she put on kerosene, you know, put her hand up to her forehead and she said, I've got a splitting headache today. And she said it would irritate me than bother me.
It was just silver put into the collection. The jingle of that silver, that money. Let's have a silent collection.
You know something? I want you to do this before I leave. All the good people are all the time. The only one that I
got this pocket for self for you. Oh, Lord, in the mind. You know, it really reminds me. When, I went up to Lord's work way back in 1945, and I've been in some difficult circumstances in Newfoundland and other places, but never once has God failed in any way. God has met my need on every occasion. The moment I picked myself out of the street,
the moment I want to be talking to anyone, not under the own car, but outside the own car, the moment I can look for another thing, I automatically
see myself as a Christian.
His profound faith in the living God.
He's ashamed to see how it is.
Then his prayerful life. What's the answer?
I believe the answer right here will answer a lot of things.
Nehemiah acted in the same way.
When he saw the wall going down, and he knew that he was going back. And he not that he went back.
We were in the Acts of the Apostles in the Bible reading drop the other night. And we got on the going to the Acts of the Apostles. And in chapter 12, in 30, we made a little teacher.
If you get a concordance,
and you look up the word prayer, pray, prayerful, you notice how many times it's mentioned in the Acts of the Apostles. It's startling. I've forgotten the exact number now.
That characterized those early Christians. They were noted for prayer. That's what characterized their life. And nothing discouraged them, even when James was beheaded. And they were going after Peter. All those things were. Even the persecution. Way back in the way, the persecution that they were after that. In their prayer life and in their teaching, that was their finest hour. Here's the answer. Come here.
Well, when I was in Vancouver, not too long ago, man, come up to me. Take care.
I don't think you could have this to do that.
And he said,
God's my witness. My conscience is my witness. From that day until now, I've prayed for you every day.
I looked at him. And I said, "Brother, that answers a lot in my life." Boy, that brought the tears to my eyes. The dear brother was sincere. Boy, wouldn't that make a difference in our assembly life if we went home and prayed about it? See a young fellow, he's world bordering, heading for something. You see a young woman, she's on the bridge of a hall. Well, we all sit back, you know, criticize. And when it happens, we say, "Oh, I knew that was going to happen. I knew that was coming." But how much did we pray about it? Well, it's nice to see believers, whether leaders or otherwise, to see them have a prayerful attitude concerning the work of God and the assembly of God. His prayerful life. And then his practical ministry. Why? He didn't cover things up. And he commenced right at the top brass, you know, the Levites and the priests. Have you ever noticed these men in the Old Testament? Like Daniel, Nehemiah? They commenced with the top brass. You know, a person said not too long ago,
"They'll go after some of our children and our home life, and they'll go after almost everything. But my baby is thinking of the fact that they can get away with murder."
Well, I want to tell you, here's Ezra, and he begins right at the top brass. His ministry was practical. Right down there.
In my age, we had a good man, we had a good man. I would get all the problems that we had to do. I wonder if that, that your life can make you a better one to do your life. All the problems are going to be out of us in our life.
So Ezra was a very practical man, and his preaching, his ministry, was of that caliber. And I certainly appreciate men of that caliber, whether in the assemblies or out of the assemblies. My, I heard them say concerning Perry Lockwood, "I wish he was off the air. I wish they would cancel his program, and he was off the air." You know why? Preaching is difficult.
I want to tell you, Jimmy was not here. He said, "I think you tell me that one fellow," he said, "there's a man in the next farm, in the next house that has a dog." And he said, "You know, us young men used to throw some stones over the red roof." He said, "I didn't stand for offer."
Well, I want to tell you, as I look back over my life, some of the men I listened to back in front of me,
and I want to tell you this afternoon, there are many more great highlights of our most
great. Because they got up and they delivered the message that God laid upon their heart. You know, there's one thing about preaching. You can't preach the word of God faithfully and be the friend of everybody, whether in the gospel or ministry. Utterly impossible. No use trying it, brother. You can't preach the truth of God faithfully and be the friend of everybody. You're bound to get a reaction. In fact, Mr. Harris worked on a reaction. Good, bad, or indifferent, that's the way he worked. A reaction. And when he got a reaction, he was happy. He was satisfied. So I hope we get a reaction this afternoon. And then to listen to. I hope we take a lesson from this man, Ezra. His personal preparation.